shares the gospel with them, the Holy Spirit arrives and there is dramatic revelation of God in that moment. And Peter's view of life, who Jesus is, and he has that moment, everything changes for the church and the message of Jesus, which suddenly gets a whole lot wider and broader and more exciting. Peter then has to explain himself to all his Jewish friends who are thinking, what on earth have you done? How dare you go and spend this time with Gentiles? What on earth has happened? And at the end of his explanation to the Jewish council in Acts 11, verse 15, Peter is explaining to them what happened, and he says, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them. This microphone is standing in God's way.
Let's try that. That's better, isn't it? So to repeat, Peter says, so if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? The earnest intention is that what I'm sharing now and where we think we're going as a church is to be in God's path, to be part of that same sending spirit that was going on 2,000 years ago. What we're trying to do is make sure we're in tune with the Holy Spirit and we're constantly going where he's sending us and being shaped as a church to how he wants us to be shaped. And the earnest intention is that there's nothing in here which is standing in God's way. But part of this sharing is an open invitation to you all to check that with the leaders who put it together and check with us and say, yes, we're in agreement. This is not standing in God's way. This is in tune with where we too think we are being sent and who we are as a church family. Nick the clicker for us. So I want to say thank you very much for joining with us in prayer at the beginning of March and meeting as groups, praying individually to really seek God for what's the next stages for us as a church family. What the senior leadership team did was say, well, okay, let's think about our history. What are we like as a church family? What's God been saying to us? What is he saying to us now? What are we seeing around us? And who are we meeting with? And what do those relationships that we have with those around us say about us and the kind of church family we are and want the kind of church family we want to be? A key symbol for us as a leadership team, maybe over the past year, has been to kind of shape our thinking around the kind of environment we want to have as a church family. Perhaps there are keen gardeners amongst us, I don't know, maybe a few, yeah, tentative, waving hands. I'm a rubbish gardener. Most things we've killed or destroyed, so our garden is pretty limited at the moment, apart from a few sturdy trees that hang on in there despite my best intentions to ruin them. We've tried to have a kind of gardening approach in some of our leadership decisions and ideas about how the church is going, in that we're interested in creating the right environment for spirit-led growth in the church. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create the right environment for God to work and for us to be in the flow of God's spirit, obedient to Jesus, going about his business. And what we're trying to do is grow in depth of relationship with God and grow in breadth of his reach in the city and beyond. That's the growth we're looking for. This isn't about kind of, you know, numerical growth. How many numbers have we got in this week, that week, this activity, that activity? It's about growth in our relationship with God and growth in his reach and the extension of his kingdom and activity in us and in this city and far further afield. Amen. Amen. Huzzah. Thanks, love. That's the first one. It says here, Laura, wave hands and shout. So thank you, honey. This looks quite tidy, doesn't it? That looks like a nice greenhouse there, all quite tidy. If only life were that straightforward, eh? Here's a nice looking kind of diagram with a few circles on it. I'm a kind of guy, I like diagrams. Diagrams have meaning for me, and what I want to do is convey with excitement meaning to you through them. Poor people, some people have seen multiple types of this image in multiple formats. This is just a picture, I think, of where we've been as a church family, which is to say, broadly speaking, our history, well, where we've come from, was a Sunday community with house groups kind of part of that Sunday community, and then kind of community activities on the edges of what we're doing as a Sunday community in different places around the city. What we did a couple of years ago was to shake that up a little bit. And we moved our life groups into something that we renamed missional communities. And the intention was that they would be communities of people that would be on the kind of borders of our community. So these would be groups of people within our church community who would be kind of on the borders of who we are and how we gather, connecting with those around us. And they would in turn be connected with different activities going on around the church. And in addition, we introduced these lovely purple circles called ISCA discipleship groups. And the intention of them was that as we were losing the kind of house group experience, we would still ensure there were discipleship groups where people had personal connections with others that challenged them, that encouraged them in their relationship with God, and helped them still to have people who were close who could support one another and spur each other on in faith. So that's been the adaptation that we've made as a church family. Interestingly, then, I would say one of the things about this image in terms of the environmental theme is that maybe for those scientists around us, you may either have a kind of facepalm moment, or you may go, oh yes, I see. This is a bit Petri dish-like, maybe. Maybe you see that, you know, Petri dishes are these, well, I'm no scientist, I know nothing. So I believe they are dishes where you put stuff in and bacteria grows, and over time it kind of things spawn and emerge. Yeah, that's great. Cheryl's giving me the nod of approval there.
She's grimacing.
She did not grimace. Nobody saw that.
I did.
So here's our Petri dish. We've kind of had our Petri dish here where we've kind of created an environment and things have started to grow. Ooh. Did you see that? I deliberately set a transition to make things merge there. Ooh, thanks. All right. I'm not doing it. Right, fine. I'll do it again. Oh, there we go. There's one and a couple of things. Ah, see how they move a little bit. What's been happening is that we're just beginning to see signs of growth, signs of new life, and things emerging as we've changed some of our shapes and practices as a church community. We're beginning to see things kind of spawn and new life emerge. We're seeing new relationships form in different expressions of the church as we've extended out in the community. And we've seen new people connecting with us who are learning about Jesus in new ways. So I'm really excited. For me, what I see on a most daily basis is here in the Beacon Heath missional community, and it's perhaps the one that's both maybe most further down the line in terms of exploring some of the new ways we've been gathering and being community. But for instance, we're seeing gatherings of mums now in these smaller groups, where for instance, yes, there's time in the pub and there's social time, but we're also seeing, for instance, the other day, mums coming to a Bible study group who are actually learning about the prophetic gift and prophesying for one another. Mums who've got no kind of church experience or any just kind of learning the way, a couple of them joining in on the fringes, and yet find themselves participating in prophecy, in a prophetic workshop, exploring who Jesus is and how God speaks today. I find that really exciting, that these just small little things are taking place. We're seeing, for instance, people come along to some of the activity in the Beacon and just learn about God through serving alongside us. Somebody the other day saying to me, I hadn't really considered for some time now how much prayer actually really does make a difference. This is somebody I had no idea was a Christian or even had been exploring faith, and yet had just been meeting up with Kate on occasion during the session, one of the sessions in the week, and had just started praying with her because Kate had been praying anyway. Just these small glimpses of where, as we're moving out in the community, we're seeing that new things are emerging, new groups are starting to take place, people are learning about Jesus and then are building community with us in a way that is challenging us and forcing us to kind of grow and adapt. Our strap line for us as a church is, we say, sharing life in Exeter. And I think that's what we're trying to grow. If you ask us then, what is our vision? Our vision is sharing life in Exeter. Our vision is that we're a community of relational depth amongst each other, relational depth with Jesus, and a relationship then with him and each other that can't help but spill out to those around us, to the people that we know and love and are connecting with in all sorts of different settings. Here's a potentially scary looking picture. Would you like that to be your house? No? There's one there, no?
Yes?
Yes?
Structural integrity.
Structural integrity. Ooh, yes. This is an interesting picture, isn't it? It's a bit messier than that greenhouse that I showed a couple of slides back. I was hesitant to show it. For me, yes, I find a mixture of, ooh, that could fall apart at any moment, couldn't it? To, isn't it exciting to see all those things growing in and around that house? How beautiful it looks with all sorts of wildlife growing around us. What would it look like for us as a church family to keep on pursuing a vision in which it's a bit, ooh, there's some weird things growing around there. That's some interesting stuff. Looks exciting. Ooh, maybe we need to keep that a bit safe though. Is it all right? That's the kind of vision actually we are exploring. Not one in which we want to destroy everything and ruin foundations, but one in which there is exciting growth. One of the prophetic pictures we had for us a little while back from visitors from Exmouth was of a fruit tree in a walled garden where all the fruit is hanging over the side of the wall, on the outer side of the wall. On the one hand, I'm like, oh, really? I want some of that. But actually, that's a great picture for us, isn't it, as a church family? That what we're doing and growing is actually a blessing to those on the fringes. There's exciting life, but it's going on the fringes to those around us. This kind of picture presents a challenge to us about the idea that some of us like free-flowing wild growth and others like the sense of order. And so in a moment, I'm going to come back to that and how we do want to address that in the next year or so. But before I do, we're going to hear a couple of short testimonies, first from Alison and then from Steve, please. So Alison, would you mind sharing first?
Hi there. I go to the Connects group, which is... We're sort of people who are from lots of different parts of the city, so we haven't got a location in which we can be active. But our vision for the group is very much about green spaces and areas of influence. Well, as you can imagine, if we're from different parts of the city, we have different areas of influence and different green spaces. We live in Topsham, and for a long time I've been wanting to get a little group of people together from different churches. There are three churches in Topsham, and there are an awful lot of Christians who don't go to any of those churches. So after much procrastination and excuse giving, we got a little group together of eight of us who were four couples from four different churches, from Belmont, St. Leonard's and Rediscover, and obviously us from Iska, and found out that they all felt the same as us. We wanted to do a bit more in the community. We wanted to be more proactively Christian, living out our faith. So we've decided we're going to have another meeting, perhaps every few months, and inviting other people, like other people here who live in Topsham, and people who go to the other churches in Topsham, and other people from St. Leonard's, with a view to sharing ideas about how we can perhaps impact the community a bit more. Years ago, we used to help with Holiday Club in Topsham. We used to help run the youth group, and we were more active, and we've sort of found a lot of excuses and not been so active. So hopefully, this new group will encourage other people, and we'll see what happens.
That's great.
Thank you, Alison. That's great. Just a great short testimony there of how we're gathering is provoking us to join with others and extend God's mission in the city, well, in fact, on the borders there in Topsham, which is great. Next up, Steve.
This was meant to be Kate, who couldn't make it this morning, talking about the beacon, so she's a bit better looking than I am, so you put up with me, but that's good. Kate actually wrote a few words down that she wanted to share this morning, so I'm just going to read those out. The beacon is a place where God feels proud to take people, or that's how it seems. Others and I pray for God to bring people to the centre who we need to serve, who he wants us to support and help. I witness this every week, and it fulfills my faith. I meet people struggling with finances, mental health, loneliness, illness, relationships, grief. These people come to us, and from what I've evidenced so far, feel safe and cared for. We have individuals who are dealing with chronic health, for example, alcoholism, and they disappear whilst they struggle through the dark times, but return to us not feeling judged, but knowing that we care for them, whatever demons they may be facing. And we have many instances where people find the environment at the beacon to be such an encouraging, welcoming, safe and supportive place that it enables them to take steps forward which they had previously been unable to do. So God has taken us forward every day. He gives me many challenges along the way that test me and sometimes struggle. But he always provides me an answer, and that has given me hope and reassurance that the beacon will aspire to provide and serve those who need it, and that they're not judged but are loved and cared for. That's a really good, some powerful words there around what the beacon does and what it does in shining out, being a safe place for people to come to, and feeling loved and accepted, and a safe place to come to, and that's really important. And for me, having got church today on a Sunday, got a structure around it in church, Beacon is church as well. It's got a different nuance, but it's still church. If you go on a Friday morning to a community drop-in, that is church for me. You'll see whole spectrum of people from all different aspects of life, going through different stages and different things going in their lives, yet come because they feel safe, they have good conversation, good tea, coffee, pool, they play me and they probably win. And it's a good place for people to come and feel respected. And then it leads on to other things, as Richard was saying. But for me, that's what it's about. It's a beacon shining out, yet it's also a safe place, like a lighthouse. It's still shining a lighthouse, yet ships know that it's a safe place when they don't want to go there. People come to the beacon because it is safe. And that's really important. So the next 12 months, it's more of the same. It's more, we want to do more of that, more of the outreach, more of kind of just open the doors to people to come and be with each other, and just to really, in a way, they are experiencing God in a very safe and non-judgmental way. It's great.
That's great. Thanks, Steve. That's great. Yeah, if ever you're feeling low on a Friday morning, come have a coffee and a nice cup of cake. A cup of coffee, slice of cake, and then play Steve at pool, and you're guaranteed to feel a whole lot better. Sorry. they're just two great little examples, aren't they, there with Alison and Steve as well, of this growth that's coming out of this church family that we're seeing. So nonetheless, there are things that we want to do to make sure that as we're growing, we are still remaining deep in our relationship with God, and that we are also all together as church family, caring for one another and working together to grow closer to Jesus and share him in this city. So there are four things, plus maybe a fifth stem, if you like, to this rather curious four-leaf clover. Oh, forgive me, I'm getting out of my order here. Before I do, let me say one more thing. Getting carried away with myself. I put this here just because I wanted to reassure people. I'm going to say some new things, and we've talked about lots of new things. But I did just want to say that there's a history and a part to our identity that won't be touched on this morning, but is still very much a part of who we are. We are part of God's church in Exeter, and he's going to say a bit more about that in a moment. We're a leading church in the region. We're a charismatic church, a church of spirit and word, and we're an international sending church. All of these things are still true about us. So there we've given examples of kind of local mission and local things. I don't want to disregard any of this as our history and our heritage, and it's still very much a part of our future. There are particular actions, though, that we're trying to take in the next year. This is what came out of our day together down in Monkerton, when we spent the day together, looked at what we were seeing, what God's saying, and this is what we felt were most critical for us. And I'm just going to touch on them in brief today, and then we'll go through it in more detail as we go along in the next month or two. So the four things are, we want to make sure we've got a discipling culture in our church. That's particularly going to mean we're going to do more to support you and encourage you in your discipleship groups. We're going to be doing more to make sure everyone is able, who wants to connect in with a discipleship group. And we're going to be refreshing the way we support people in their discipleship groups so that there's more material available there for you. There's more kind of resources to help you meet together, and there's more to kind of support you. We also recognize that discipleship takes other forms than just meeting in a group once a month. And so we'll also be trying to support other ways that people are discipled, whether it's in mentoring or just getting alongside people on the job as you volunteer. Discipleship, Cheryl, you mentioned it earlier as we sung. It's critical. Everything we do is about relationship with Jesus and encouraging one another in that. Perhaps one of the greatest losses as we moved from house groups to missional community for some has been a loss of pastoral care, or a sense of loss for pastoral care. So we recognise that came back to us as a leadership team, and we are going to make sure that over the next year we do more to ensure this church is a caring family and that everyone has someone to go to if they're in need of pastoral care and support. It's probably going to mean some training for some. We'll be inviting people to take a lead with us in that and make sure that everyone who needs support has it in this church. We want to make sure there's a sense of belonging for everyone and that there is always someone that you can go to in this church family. Moving on from that, we use the word family. I know for some that actually family is a bit of a difficult word, isn't it? Mothering Sunday today. For some, thoughts of our mothers will provoke joy and happiness. For others, it will provoke maybe a bit of sadness. But nonetheless, we're trying to grow family as God's church family, God's people. And that means multi-age groups that serve families of all shapes and sizes. We definitely think there has been something clear to us that we are a family for families, that we're a group of people who care for families around us in all sorts of settings, and that's families of all different shapes and sizes, and that we're a church for young people and youth, particularly those who don't know Jesus yet. So that's going to be a particular direction for us, but it's inclusive of everyone. One of my best experiences this year has been in the youth work. I look forward to it every week because every week I get a nice meal round the table like I'm with my family. And I sit together with a bunch of kids from the estate who run our second youth club with us and are brilliant, and we couldn't run it without them. But we all have dinner together. They eat with us, and Susan, Martha, myself, John Tagg, Liz Straw, and sometimes Mary comes in as well and joins us. And we're like just one big family having tea together for an hour. We talk about boyfriends and girlfriends. We talk about the stupid things we've done, the things we're proud of. We talk about how our day's been. It's just a wonderful moment of intergenerational, cross-generational mission and life with a bunch of kids who now remind us when we don't say grace before the meal and even pray for us before that meal if we haven't prayed. Just learning on the job with us what God's like and what godly family's like. And they say, when Mary's not there, they say, we miss Mary because she's like my nan. Mary tries to come, but as Mary's such a busy lady, there's lots of people that you're serving and blessing. But they just came to me and said that one day, I love having Mary there, she's like my nan. That's the kind of picture that we're trying to grow, that we all have a part to play in serving people around us, and we can all be received in different ways within that setting. And lastly, that we're a moving, pioneering church. We're continuing God's mission. Actually, we're modeling things that maybe others aren't used to. We're pursuing things that are a bit risky, a bit like Peter and Cornelius. But I think that's really exciting. And we don't want to lose that in our story going forward, that we're a church that tries to do things a bit differently and keep on pursuing those who don't yet know Jesus. Lastly, I do just want to say, again, we have talked about, there's lots going on. And I think the other thing that was particularly clear to us as we were coming together on the Vision Day was that we have become a bit dispersed, a bit spread out, and at times a bit discoordinated. And not everyone always knows what everyone else is doing. Discoordinated? Disconnected? Is that better? Forgive me. Disconnected. So we're trying to make sure in the next year or so that we do just a bit more to keep everyone together and make sure you all know what each other is doing, that we're all together, that we know who's on what team. Lots of this is happening already, and basically we just want to make sure over the next year that we ramp it up a bit and we improve and increase what we're doing in this area of staying connected. So there'll be a bit more about clarifying and sharing vision, making sure everyone knows what we're trying to do collectively, how we're doing with it, showing how places and spaces fit together, making sure core information and facts about who people are, where they belong, where certain things happen and don't happen, and also a lot more sharing of good stories. There is lots of testimony going on. There are lots of good things that you are doing that others don't know about. And we want to make sure over the next year that we get a lot more storytelling out there and that you can all can share in the good news of what God is doing through us as a church family. So if you like, that's the kind of stem of our dodgy four-leaf clover, but I couldn't find a nice enough graphic to make that happen, I'm afraid. Maybe one day. So next steps. What's happening right now is that we're just beginning to share this vision and where we're going. So we've had this, the Leaders Vision Day with our initial ideas and plans. We're sharing it with you all now. You've got it in your Connections newsletter also. And we want to hear from you. Please join with us, continue to pray, give feedback to the senior leaders. Let us know what you think about this. If you think anything's missing, please continue to pray for God's guidance as we now start to land some of these things. From April to July, we're going to start putting some of what I've presented now into place. particularly some of the discipleship stuff we were already aware of and we're going to start moving forward with and make sure there are more resources out there as soon as possible. So some things we'll get on with straight away. Others we want to talk through and work out in a bit more detail. And we also want to make sure everyone has a chance to participate in sharing what I've presented. So if anything's exciting you, if anything you're seeing there or you read about, you think, yeah, I want to join in with that, then please talk to the senior leaders. We'll gladly spend time with you and see how you can join in shaping some of the things that we've talked about. And then from September, that vision plan will be finalised. We'll be coming back to you and saying, here, okay, this is where we're now going. These are some of the further things that are happening, and we'll be really pressing on with it for the next 12 months. Sound exciting?
Yes.
Some good stuff there, I think. God is doing stuff. There is lots to be excited by through our church family. We're just going to hear a couple more testimonies, and then we're going to hear from Andy. So Julia first. Wahey!
Some of you might know now that we are moving. John and I are moving, and we're moving to Monkerton.
Yay!
Yay! And I wasn't initially thinking about moving anywhere. We thought we'd in our house. We are quite happy in our house. But for a while now, I've been having this sort of feeling, this pull about moving to the sort of Pinhoe Monkerton area. And we're really excited because we're going to have lots of new neighbours, a new community, lots of people to get to know. This is something that there'll be more to share later because it's all sort of early days yet. But one of the other things that we're looking forward to is all the other churches. There's a couple of other churches in Pinhoe. So they've got the URC Church and the Pinhoe Church. And there's much more communication and talking together, which is really exciting. And I'm really excited to see how that develops. So watch this space.
Yeah. It's terrific, isn't it? So five or six years ago, three more joined in, and there were some others living here too. A group of us moved here in Beacon Heath and started being community here and really joining in with life. Now the same is beginning to emerge in Pinhoe and Monkerton. Perhaps there may be others who would like to join in with Julia and John and moving to Monkerton. I'm not going to present the alternative. So you couldn't possibly move that they've now moved there. No, that won't be. It's exciting, isn't it? I can't tell you how exciting it is to be part of a group, knowing that you're right here in this community and with others who are joining in a mission together. And I'm sure it's going to be really exciting for you, Julia and John, joining in with Paul and Veronica and all the others who are already a part of Pinhoe. It's great to have that sense of community. Lastly, Susan.
So this time last year, Iska Church didn't have an official church youth group. And now we have Investigate, which is a diverse group of five young people in year six and up. Each young person truly brings something unique to the group. And when we are together, I glimpse the depths at which God loves and values the individual and the ways he weaves together everyone's differences into united strengths. The young people have been growing in confidence within the group during our fortnightly socials, whether that be playing quiz games on our phones or picnicking in the midst of Dartmoor. And this growth is reflected in their increasingly active involvement in our Sunday sessions. This term, we've been trying out new prayer techniques, exploring what God's making us passionate about, and expressing those things in mission projects. Sometimes practicing prayer feels really awkward, and learning how God is shaping us is always going to be an ongoing process. But what we've been doing is investigating the lifestyles, challenges, and adventures of being a Christian. And what I've seen throughout this term is that these young people care about supporting their friends. They care about drug use in their local area. They care about world hunger. And they care about climate change. God is at work in them. And it's exciting. As Investigate continues to develop over the next year, I want to see the young people encountering God ever deeper in word and in spirit, to see them growing as Jesus followers who are united with their church family and who are equipped and inspired to bring God's love to others by sharing their stories and by doing the good things which God has got planned for them.
Amen.
Thanks, Susan. So there you go, great stories, lots to look forward to, and now I'll hand over to Andy.
Great, thanks Rich. And we're all still with it just for 5 more minutes, and then we'll have communion together. I've got some practical implications just to raise, bring to your attention, and you might have some questions coming out of all of this that you're hearing. This is open dialogue. We're not here having secrets about all this sort of stuff. We're a family learning what it is to be family together. So when you have questions, make sure you follow up with them, won't you? But firstly, a very practical word, which is about our finances as a church. I have, again, apologies from our treasurer, Angela, who has let us know that she's going to be standing down in October. Okay, we're looking around for someone who might help with that role in the future. If you pray about that with us, that would be great. She can't be here today. From Steve Randall, who looks after our finances together, we have had a blessed year. Okay, that's the bottom line. And Steve would be here if he was concerned, as probably would Angela be. But you're wonderfully generous, God-honoring family. We are, as a family. And God has blessed us with the finances. We set kind of a budget idea, spending guidelines and so on, to make sure we're not being unwise with finances. And we balance things this year, basically. God's provision has come in month by month through the generosity of us, his people, primarily. Isn't it good to be known as a generous church? Now, I love it if folks write to us when they come to speak here for us. And they write back and say, oh, thank you so much for your generous gift. It's not about us, it's about God. He's generous, isn't he? And we've been blessed by God. And going forward, we know that we can trust in him and have confidence. So that's the bit of the financial update. We're not at the end of the financial year yet, quite. But there will be more detail for those who would like it. Just speak to those involved with it and you'll get it. All right? So all we've laid out this morning is about really building on the foundations that we think God has laid for us already, spoken to us about, prophetic words that have come since the 1980s, are speaking to us as a church family about being family, about being relational, about reaching out to others, about being involved with young people, with youth, and with children and families. And you will know and be aware, many of you, that that's what we've prioritised on. So it is kind of more of the same. We want to be all that God wants us to be as a family. But we are noticing some changes. We've seen quite a transition in all our trustees and leadership groupings. There's a few of us old-timers around, but many have passed on the baton, if you like. There are new and younger folks coming into the fore of all our leadership forums and groups. It's in the Connections news sheet if you want to check up on that. We prayed for new folks in new roles here recently, 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's exciting. We're also noting that in our senior leadership team now, our roles are changing and developing. And so the key thing is, as you will have noticed even today, and I'm sure it comes no surprise to you, that Rich, who has been presenting today, carries a huge weight of God's anointing for leadership and the development of the church. God's also called us to be a pioneer and a pacemaker in the city and in the region. I find myself at this point being given more and more invitation and opportunity to network and connect outside the church and to serve others. And Chris brought an incredible prophetic word a couple of weeks ago when we were praying that spoke exactly that to me. On the same morning that Chris was in the prayer room receiving that, as leaders, we were really wrestling with what does that mean for Karina, myself, and for us as a church. So basically, the bottom line is that from September, there's going to be transition. This is what we're proposing to you, and we'd love you to pray for us in that respect. In that as what some would call the apostolic ministry, that being sent out stuff grows for us as a whole church, that I find myself more serving with. Rich will step up and become known as, if you like labels, the leader of Iska Church, or the senior pastor, or whatever. We don't like titles, we don't like it. Rich is Rich, and Andy is Andy, all right? But we are going to be changing, proposing changing that. And would love you to pray for Rich and Laura, because they're both in this together, and Peter, and Ellaline, and for Barney, because it's a family call. But it's an anointing that we're recognizing. We sense God doing something, and so we'd love you to pray in that respect. And that means that as a leadership team in which Rich and I participate, all the team roles are being looked at and reflected on. We're all playing our part. I'm still part of that. Okay, I'm not going anywhere in that respect. But it will enable us as church to fulfill more of what we feel God is doing. Financially, there'll be a bit of this going on as well, we would anticipate. But we'd just love you to pray for us. We've presented that, discussed it with our friends in Thought and Light Network and other places, just to sort of balance all that out. Some of you are aware, but we would just love your prayers, because that's the change, one of the key changes that we're making. But we've got a great new team, younger leaders, being called by God, equipped by God to serve us as a church family. Isn't it great news? I think it really is great news, because God is taking us forward. And I just have had real privilege in being invited into different forums. And as you may be aware, I'm no longer a governor here, or chair of governors. I'm now a trustee with the Ted Ragg Multi Academy Trust. Went to the first meeting this last week, the first full meeting of the board, where I was introduced as Andy is a church leader who's going to really help us with understanding what Christianity can be like in education and in the schools across the Ted Ragg Trust. And the chairman said that he's got my full backing to do that. So those are the type of opportunities we want to be part of, and we're sharing them together, isn't it? So that's part of where we're going. So in relation to other implications, very briefly, we're called to minister, to reach out, to show the love of God to young people. I won't talk about the things that we anticipate staying the same. We have a swim worker, we have children's and family work with Maria a day a week. The swim trainee position will continue. We have support with it. We connect with others. The YMCA, Martha's been referred to. We want to keep Martha involved with our youth work going forward. We're talking September onwards, really. But we would love to have more capacity in our youth work and release Rich, not from all the fun of being the family man that he is in it, but from a lot of the practicalities and function and everything that goes with making youth work happen. So we would look to be increasing the youth work provision that we would have in terms of a member of staff, if you call it that, part-time, that would enable us to have more capacity in youth work and release Rich to be more of who he is in helping us all become engaged in mission and evangelism. So that's the thought for the future. That would cost us some money. If we're looking to at the big picture of our finances, we're praying this year that God will enable us to stretch ourselves. I love talking about a faith gap. How much should we be extending ourselves? God's always provided, and we think if there were another £10,000 or £15,000 coming in to our regular giving over the course of the next whole year, that would be really fantastic and would really set us up to be able to reach out and do these things. Be who we are in this community and all the communities where you and we all are involved effectively and fruitfully and with confidence and with good training and the backing behind us. So that's what we'll be outlining another time, probably in more detail. But that's where we're set. And what I know these financial guys love is if it's when we review what we give regularly. We're so thankful. There are folks now giving on a regular basis monthly to the church, which is a fantastic thing. And we had some new ones doing that recently, so that's great. And if you haven't done that yet and you want to think about it, now is a great time. But God provides everything we need. We just have to be obedient to him in that. That's the faith gap going forward. So there's a few of the practicalities. We feel God's hand is on us as a church. He's called us to be a pioneer and a pacemaker. Now, the pioneering thing has come up in 2015, 2017, and much earlier before that in the 1980s. We're breaking new ground. We're moving on in how we are as God's church. And people are seeking us out and saying, how does it work for you guys? And so we have opportunity to help set a pace. You think, well, we're just a bit small. We've had really difficult times, and we have. But you know what? God's word is speaking. God is speaking through his word to us clearly, and we're embracing that in faith to go forward together. And that's an exciting journey. Do you know what? It's really messy. But what's not messy is that Christ is our foundation, and his love is working out through all of us. And we just love being part of this family, don't we? We're going to express what it is to be part of that family by finishing with communion today. It's a bit unusual to finish with communion, perhaps. But we wanted to bring it back to Jesus. The attention is all on him. We are his church, and he is building us together his way. After he fed the 5,000, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, it's not Moses who's given you bread from heaven. It's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He gives life to the world. He is the true bread. He gives life to the world. And Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. As we take the bread and the wine, it's an expression of our oneness in Jesus. So we do so thankfully, don't we? He's connected us with him. And we are receiving his life collectively among us. He will energize us. He will enable us to share life in Exeter. Because this bread is for the world. It's not just for us. And we'll take the wine, the wine juice, to remind us of his blood that set us free from all guilt and sin and enables us to do that with confidence. So thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing, all that you have done for us in Christ and in the cross and throughout all of history. And we thank you that you're going to take us forward into more of your life together. Thank you for your sacrifice for us, Lord. We give ourselves to you in worship as we take bread and wine together now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So those who are serving, if you'd like to take your place.